Why, mate? Are you?
Yeah, very good, very good. Yeah, enjoying watching you on Sky. It's you've done a few gigs now. It's all going well.
Yeah, it's something different, isn't it? No, I'm enjoying it, to be honest. I was surprised and kind of honoured to be asked to join the Sky Boxing team. So, listen, you get to talk about boxing and get to talk about good fights and big nights all the time. So it's fantastic, really. Somebody like me, it's what I love doing.
Indeed. So, plenty going on at the minute in terms of big fights and big nights. Let's talk about one of your fighters first, Jamie McDonnell, at Doncaster Boxer, back in action this week over in Monaco, defending his world title. Looking forward to that again. Something a little bit different over in Monaco.
Yeah, it's a big fight. It's a big fight, and it's a dangerous fight for him. It's not a routine defence or anything like that. It's a real test against a very good fighter, a two-time former world champion. A guy that fought Yamanaki, who a lot of people say the toss-up between Jamie and Yamanaki for the number one in the division. He fought Yamanaki recently and dropped him twice. So, this is a real threat. He's got proven punch power. He can box and he can fight. He can real-time fight. So, the setting and everything is nice, but you have to be realistic and say that this is a real threat, and that's where the focus is, rather than the fact that we're in Monaco. I mean, I've heard it's fantastic. I've never been before. We fly out on Wednesday, but I've heard it's fantastic out there. But as far as I'm concerned, it's strictly business. We've been out to Texas twice and done the business, and we intend to go over to Monaco and do the business again. So he's used to travelling, Jamie. He's used to going onto foreign climates and fields and pulling off the wind.
Exactly. As you said, he's done it the hard way. Everything's been on the road. Libero Solis, this time the man he's facing, the fifth defence of his title. Jamie talked long about his options at bantamweight and maybe moving up to super bantam, but keen to prove himself as the number one in this division.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, this is, like I said, this is a real fight, and the thing is, Kameda was a very, very good fighter, very good fighter, but he was he was spoken about highly in America and everywhere, but he'd not actually won a world title yet. That was supposed to be his defining moment and his crowning moment, the fight with Jamie. But Jamie spoiled the party. This guy here is proven. He's like I said to you before, he's a two-time world champion. So he's proven himself. He's proven that he's world championship caliber. It's a very, very tough fight. And it's a fight that a lot of people, again, think that Jamie's going to come unstuck in, which is good, because Jamie wants a fight where people are doubting him. So then when he wins, the credit better, and people are more aware of his achievements, rather than just another routine defence, and then people don't really give you credit what you deserve. So, let's get this win out of the way and another good win at bantamweight, and then see what lies in front of us. But as far as I'm concerned, the move up to super bantamweight is rapidly approaching.
Yeah, we shall get this fight out of the way, and then the options, I suppose, will present themselves. The rest of the card, they're looking pretty decent over in Monaco. The first chance since he signed with Matchroom to see Luis Ortiz in with Malik Scott. Stephen Smith has another crack at a world title. Marty Murray, not in the fight he wanted, but back in action and back in the mix. A real good night of boxing, and particularly for Stephen Smith to get his hands and try and get his hands on a world title, but a very tough fight for him.
Yeah, it's a very tough fight for Stephen, but he's learned a lot from his first world title shot, and we're expecting him to do the business and become another champion for British boxing. He's a great talent, he really is, and now he's getting that maturity, and his last fight, the experience that he's gathered from that fight, boxing at such a level that he did. And, he just fell short. But this is what happens to a lot of fighters, where the first opportunity that they get, they may fail. But as long as you learn from it, it's what I always say, as long as you learn from it and come back as a better fighter, then there's more chance of you becoming a world champion. And then when you get the world title, then because of your previous experience, you tend to hold it for a little bit longer.
Let's hope Stephen Smith does the business. Exciting times for the card on Saturday. The heavyweight division is getting very exciting at the moment. We had the news last week, of course, of Anthony Joshua facing Eric Molina. Disappointment in there from your point of view, from one respect, with David Price, who was also potentially in that mix to step up and face Anthony Joshua. What kind of happened there? Was it ever looked likely that Price he was going to get that call?
Yeah, there was a point when it did look likely, but the Joshua team, as far as his trainers and what have you that made the decisions, they chose Molina instead, which, fair enough. Listen, I said beforehand, if the opportunity drops in a fighter's lap, he's got to take it. Now, whether or not he's ready, in the grand scheme of things, ideally then you'd want Pricey to have a couple of fights first and have a bit of a test first and then go in against the world champion. But when an opportunity arises to fight for a heavyweight title, you wouldn't turn it down. And I don't think there's many people out there, unless they don't believe they're gonna win, then I don't think many people would turn it down. People like Pulev was offered the fight and offered very, very good money. And kept turning it down, and we couldn't understand why he was turning it down, because this is what you're in the game for, and if you believe you're going to win, then you take the fight. So maybe Pulev didn't believe that he could beat Joshua, and maybe wanted to go another route. Maybe, I don't know. And then when he fights Joshua, then because he's already got another belt, then maybe because it'll be worth a lot more money. So maybe I think that's possibly a reason why Pulev turned it down. I don't know. You'd have to speak to them about that. But as far as Price is concerned, he believes, because of because he knows Joshua, he believes that when he fights Joshua, be it in 6 weeks' time or be it in a year's time, he believes that he can beat Joshua, and so that's why he was willing to step in at last. When they're looking for an opponent last minute and the clock's ticking away, all he said was, "Listen, I'm here, I'm ready, and I'm available." The fact that it's not happening now, all that does is it means that we're going back to David Price's career and what he's got to do.
Yeah, more time for David Price. Where does it leave him then in terms of this year? We're likely to see him out, or is he going to be back at early next?
I certainly hope so, because my main thing for Price is continuity and to keep, just be active and just be regular, and putting what we're doing in the gym into fight situations. So I need him to be out before the end of the year. Whether or not he manages to be out before the end of the year is another matter. That's not something that I can arrange. That's down to his promoters. And recently signed up with MGM, who are managing him. And so he's got they provide opportunities for the fighters left, right and centre. And sometimes, opportunities that you wouldn't see coming, but they work hard for the fighters, and thankfully he's got them behind him, because now hopefully we can get a move on, and speaking to them, they're 100% behind Pricey. So I'm looking forward to seeing how things develop. But at the end of the day, everybody can do all their job around him. He's got to go in there and perform a fight night, and the more active he is, I think you'll see the best of David Pricey, really.
Yeah, fingers crossed. He can be back in. Is David Allen still an option? Do you know?
David Allen, we've never been offered David Allen. No. Nothing's been offered. He's shouted it before and said, I'll fight him. But if you notice him, he shouts about everybody. He talks about everybody. He'll fight absolutely everybody. He just wants to fight. Fair play. He just wants to fight. But is he somebody in our? Is he something that Price is aiming for? No, Price is aiming for fights that are higher than him. Obviously, people say, but he boxed to put in his last... Yeah, his last opponent, we found out we were boxing in Germany on the Thursday. So, no disrespect, you're not going to get many fighters jumping in at 2 days' notice. to get in with David Price. So the guy that we got was all you got. That's it, 2 days' notice. That's what happened. You know? At the end of the day, if you know, we'll see who's fighting next. We'll see where he's fighting next, and then we'll see who's fighting next. You know? But we was, because originally we were supposed to fight Molina. So that was a fight that we was after, and that was a fight, as far as we were concerned, we was having. So, you know, the fact that that ended up falling through means now, obviously, like that sort of opponent, that's, you know, a Dominic Brazil, a Christian Amer, or some, you know, somebody like that, we, you know, would be liking for his next fight. But it depends where it is, what bill it's on, and what the opportunities are, and that's, you know, that's how it is. You know, if it's a little six rounder somewhere to get him out, then obviously you're not going to be taking fights like that. But if it's, you know, if it's another, if it's a show where it's a big show, and you know, a 10-rounder, then yeah, you're gonna get fights like that. So so we'll just see. It's just a waiting game at the moment. But right now, there's no date, no nothing. You know, we're not scheduled to be on December 10th. So I don't know what's happening.
Yeah, plenty of opportunities maybe on the horizon in 17 once everything settles down. But at the moment, the heavyweight scene, everything up in the air, obviously, Joshua fighting in Molina with Klitschko waiting next. Should he get through that? No problem, which the likelihood is he will. And then you've got Shannon Briggs facing Lucas Brown for the regular WBA title. You've got the WBO as well with Joseph Parker fighting Andy Ruiz. Deontay Wilder due to be back next year. It's shaping up for 2017 to be some year.
Yeah, 2017 should be a cracking year. I mean, we should have a lot of activity in the heavyweight division. There's been a lot of uncertainty, obviously, this year, with what's happened with the belts and everything. You know, so now everything's kind of falling in place. We'll see. But listen, let's get this straight. If all the belts were still with Klitschko, a boring heavyweight division. If you remember when he was champion, nobody was interested in the heavyweight division. Nobody was talking about the heavyweight division. You know, Tyson Fury's gone along and beaten him, and whatever's happened since, I think all the heavyweight fighters that are in the mix and talking about fighting and challenging for these belts and stuff like that, they all owe a bit of gratitude towards Fury, because they're only in this position now because Vladimir doesn't hold all the cards.
Yeah, fingers crossed. Tyson Fury can get himself back in that mix as well. Initial thoughts on a Joshua v Klitschko fight for next year? Is it one that whets the appetite, given what Fury did to him? Or I suppose it's what Vladimir Klitschko's got left.
But Joshua's a totally different style to Tyson Fury. Joshua can't go in there and do the same sort of job as what Fury did. It's a different style of boxer, different mentality, everything about him is different. I think Vladimir was absolutely gone in the head before he even got in the ring with him. You know, he mentally tortured him before the bell went. You know, they're control freaks. They like to have everything as it should be in their eyes. And once Tyson took that away from him, stripped that away from him, then, you know, the uncertainty and the confidence level was lower. But then on the fight night, being with somebody so big, long range, who knows how to use his size, it totally befuddles Vladimir. Now, AJ is a different proposition. AJ is more, you know, he's going to be more intent on knocking Vladimir out. So it's going to make for a more exciting fight. But also, you know, the intrigue as well is we don't actually know whether Vladimir's basically gone, whether he's, you know, whether he's shot, whether he's mentally shot, whether, you know, or whether it was just an off night and he couldn't handle Tyson Fury. If he's still the man that he was, then this could be a little bit too soon for AJ. But if he's not, and if he is gone now, you know, and if Fury's totally done him mentally, then, you know, this is a fight where you would say AJ would win. It's a very, very good fight, isn't it? It's an intriguing fight, and I think it will be an exciting fight, because you're in there with two guys that can end each other, really. Both fighters have shown that they can be hurt, but both fighters can punch. So, you know, it's a fight that I look forward to, and it will be exciting. I do think that the delay from December 10th up to March favours AJ, because at that age that Vladimir is at as well, being out of the ring, you know, for so long, that's going to hurt him. So, and also on AJ's side, is that's giving AJ more time to improve and become a better fighter with the work that he's doing in the gym, and you know, obviously gets another outing now against Molina. So, you know, I think the balance of scales with every week that passes by, I think favour Joshua.
Interesting stuff. In terms of one other man that's awaiting a shot, David Haye here in the mix for the WBO to face the winner of Parker or Ruiz. But in the meantime, still looking for an opponent. Is there talks out? Do you know anything? Can you tell us anything regarding Tony Bellew?
Yeah, he doesn't have to look for an opponent. There's one there right there waiting for him. You know, there has been initial talks with Haye's team as far as a fight with Tony Bellew. So it's legit and it's real, but let's see if David A wants to do it. Well, we know we're ready and we're willing. So you know, it's a similar sort of thing. You have fighters that talk about wanting to fight somewhere, and then you have fighters that actually go out there and do it. And Bellew wants to do it. You know, David A. I don't know. He's waiting for how the division falls, so he can slot in. But he's not, you know, he's not going to be fighting for a world title in January, February time. You know, it's going to be a little bit later. So he's got to wait. So he's got a window there. So you know, he can earn a few million by fighting Bellew, because there's no other fight out there that's going to pay him that kind of money, other than obviously a Joshua fight. And he ain't fighting Joshua anytime soon. So you know, we'll see. We'll see which way it goes. If it happens, it happens. If not, listen, we're, you know, Tony Bellew's WBC Cruiserweight Champion of the World is WBC World Champion. It means that he's got other options. So, you know, we're getting on and cracking on and seeing what else there is in case the Haye fight doesn't happen. If it happens, fantastic. It's a bit like a bonus. You know, if it happens, great. But we're not waiting on it. We're not hanging about, because obviously you can't do that with David A. So, you know, you have to get on with your own thing. And if it slots into place and it happens, then happy days.
So that's for your fight. Just a quick word on Gavin McDonnell. What's the latest on Gavin and him getting himself back in the ring?
We're just waiting to see what gets put out. Basically, listen, when you're number two in the rankings and he's WBC number two, all it is a waiting game. You just have to be a little bit patient, because at any time you might get that call and be told, listen, you're fighting for a WBC Championship of the World. And Gavin McDonald's in that position right now. So, you know, he's back in training. We're working on improving. You know, he's basically working towards fighting for that world title. And I think, you know, it's going to come much sooner than what maybe he'd have thought going back a couple of months ago.
Excellent stuff. We shall await some news. Dave, thank you very much for joining us.
Nice one, mate. Cheers. Thanks for having me.